Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Phone lines open a little bit later, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Plenty to get to. Paul Posluszny signs a one-year extension. Greg Jennings was in the building this week. The Downtown Investment Authority discussing three proposals now for the shipyards.
I wonder which one will win.
And we'll go around the National Football League as well. What's up, guys? How we doing today?
Doing good, man.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Yesterday, the players had their 17th hole charity challenge. And, Tony, you were one of four Jaguars participants in that. You were the defending champion.
I was the defending champion. I did not defend.
From what we understand, you had a horrible shank off to the right after some introduction issues.
It was not a shank. As
did it end up in the water?
Ryan Robinson likes to describe it.
Did it end up in the water?
Oh, no, it was a bad shot. It was in the water. It wasn't a shank, though. No, a shank is when you hit it off the hawse and it goes dead right. It was a bad shot.
I always thought a bad shot was a shank.
Okay.
But so I'm not a golfer.
Technical golf terms, if you shank it, it hits off the hawse and it goes dead right. Okay. It was a bad shot that went in the water, without a doubt. And then I put the second one on the green, but not close enough.
Well, how many tries do you get?
Everyone gets two.
Two?
Everyone gets two.
And what club did you hit?
I had a 52-degree wedge or a gap wedge.
How long of a shot is that?
It was the pin was up front, so it was measured at 117 or 118.
Okay.
So, why did the first shot go bad, Tony? A little nerves?
No, because I'm a very average golfer, and when I play that hole for real, it's about a 50-50 chance whether it's going to be in the water or not.
Okay. So. By the way, the mascot beat everybody.
The mascot... You know,
Jacksonville won for the Tom Coughlin J Fund, $10,000, but within 5 feet with the suit on.
With the suit on. But here's the thing.
Yeah, he's pretty good now.
And Jacksonville is a great golfer in and out of the suit. I mean, he's outstanding. But I'm already a little tired of him because he won this year. He hasn't won any other year, and I beat the pants off him last year because I won. I mean, it wasn't even close, and he doesn't say a word. And now my Twitter feed and him talking smack – and all this it's nauseating. So he's a front runner, and he's a very good golfer, but he doesn't know how to handle success. You know those guys, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
That when they lose, they're really quiet, and they go into a shell and kind of, like, real quiet and, you know, and act like poor me. And then as soon as they win, it's like they're the greatest thing in the world.
Kind of like you sometimes?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Kind of like you last year?
Yeah.
Because, look, I wasn't there, but I heard that you were talking all kinds of smack.
Well, no, but here's the thing, and you can ask Gus, the head coach, because he was there. I talk smack whether I win or not. That's consistent, 100% consistent. And my whole game plan is there because there's a bunch of good golfers. And last year,
pros doing it too,
last
right?
year there was yeah. a bunch of tour guys, more than this year. There's only a handful. And I talk trash to them because I tell them. I said all
so
the
you
pressure.
Guys, you guys actually competed against some of the tour guys,
oh,
too?
Yeah.
And Jackson beat them?
Yeah, I beat
everybody.
And I beat them all last year. And I tell them. I said, you guys should be embarrassed. You let a fat ex-offensive lineman beat you at your game. Because I promise you right now, if we did one-on-one pass rush, I'd wear you out.
Listen
and so
guy.
All the pressure's on this.
Listen to this guy.
Oh, I mean, listen.
He's still talking smack.
Unbelievable.
Even in defeat.
But no, see, that's consistent. See, that's the difference between me and Jackson. Jackson's only talking when he wins. When he loses, he goes in his little cat hole.
Jeff, when was the last time you swung a golf club, Jeff?
Last July.
So, a long time.
Yeah.
You're not really a golfer.
He's a fisherman.
Though. I played.
Yeah, I was about to say, get Jackson at the skeet shooting
I played
range.
Maybe once a year.
Okay. Yeah, if we had to go shoot guns,
maybe
Jeff
six
would
holes.
Win.
Yeah,
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know if you're not a bird hunter though. You're not a great shotgun shot, are you?
No. You want to put some money on?
No. Because I know I'm not. I'll talk smack about it.
I'm terrible. Let's go to the range and play for some money.
No, but I didn't. But you don't bird hunt that much, do you? You more big game.
I do both.
Okay.
I do both.
If it flies, it dies, right?
I do both.
If it's brown, it's down.
I don't know.
That's the old saying.
Is it?
I do both. In fact, took JP Shadrick.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Jacksonville Skeet and Trap Club.
When the first time I went hunting, you know, new hunter, and I was with someone who hunts all the time, and I said, you know, what can we shoot? What deer? We were deer hunting. And he looked at me and said, if it's brown, it's down. I'm like, I guess that means anything. I guess any deer is a fair game.
I don't know if that's how it really works.
Skeet and sporting clays are my version of golf.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I will say
out there and see if
and
he
the cool
do that.
Thing is that you can actually take a golf cart to go and shoot around a sporting clay. So
and this has
stuff.
Nothing to do. I don't know why we're talking about this, but one of my favorite things to do, and I'm not a hunter. I mean, I enjoy going out with the guys and we'll hunt once or twice a year, is shooting clays. And I'm not very good.
Oh,
it's as
ball.
Much fun
absolutely.
As anything. And I love golf, but if someone says you want to go shoot all day long, that is a fun activity to
absolutely.
Do.
I'm still trying to figure out why you put it out in the water in your first attempt. I don't know.
JP, because I'll say it this way.
You don't have the
driving
range?
The guy who was in second place, who was a former senior tour player, put his second one in the water after he knocked the first one to 5 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
So
how tight was Jackson?
3 feet.
Really?
Yeah. It was close.
What'd he hit?
Club. I have no idea. Probably a pitching wedge.
And then he put it on the green with a driver after that, from his knees.
Get out of
town. There's a video of it.
Yeah, so he did. 100%. So the second time, he does it every year. The first one he put in the water, and the second time he got up on his so he gets on his knees with a driver, hits it, hit it in the water, but then he did it again, and he landed it on the green. I mean, it's impressive.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
He's a great athlete.
Speaking of great athletes, Paul Posluszny signs a one-year extension with the Jaguars. He'll be made available to the media tomorrow about noon or so.
Has anybody gotten the details of that? Because, you know, I mean, there was a lot of talk about, you know, should he take a pay cut or whatever, which, you know, my argument was, look, you don't get rid of good football players, and Paul Posluszny is a good football player. But, you know, so anything being reported about the details of the extension? Nothing.
I haven't seen nothing. My guess is, Jeff, like most of them, what it is, probably lowered his annual salary number and gave him a signing bonus.
Okay.
Some guaranteed money up front. That's my guess.
Look, I mean, I'm just glad that he's sticking around because Paul is a really good football player.
So the cap number goes down probably. Not that this team needs cap relief, where the actual dollars might not be that much different.
Yeah, probably stretched, took some of that salary money and put it in. Signing bonus,
stretch it out over 3 years.
You know, so the average probably goes down. Would be, and I'm just guessing here, but the average over the course of the 3 years now is lower than what the average was.
Well, that's
two.
How every one of these deals is done, unless you're a premier player, who with 2 years less can demand more money.
Mm-hmm.
Where then they extend you to give you more money, and your number goes up. I mean, all those deals are like that.
Along those lines, this week. Came in 2 days ago and watched a lot of tape and on the linebackers, but the non-Leos, you know, the Mikes and the Wills. And
you like that kid from Mississippi State?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a big rangy guy.
Being the non-autos is what you
But I'm telling you, the guy you got to watch, Tony, JP, the kid at TCU, you can pull his name up, you want to talk about an absolute phenomenal football player. This guy can play ball, and I don't care where you line him up. You can line him up at the middle, at the weak side.
What, Paul Dawson?
At the strong side, TCU.
Yeah.
Right?
Paul Dawson. Yeah.
This guy can play. And if the Jaguars have an opportunity at drafting him, whether it be at the top of round two or somewhere in the bottom of round one, if you end up having a trade scenario to move down, he would be a fantastic acquisition to this football team. You know, I don't know how many guys I watched, but you know, when you watch certain guys, you just sit there and you go, wow, and it's fun to watch. I mean, just physically super talented, super agile, got a nose for the ball, super fun to watch. And then I also watched Kendricks, the linebacker at UCLA
kid.
Which is the brother of Michael Kendricks, who plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. Michael Kendricks is a fantastic football player.
I'm pretty
player.
Sure the Kendricks kid was at the Senior Bowl with us.
I think he was.
I'm pretty sure he was.
And he's a really good football player. And I think he's also is going to, you know, help somebody out in a big way. But while I was watching him, you know, some guys just kind of stand out. there's a nose tackle for UCLA that wears number 97, and he's a junior. Watch for this guy in next year's draft, because while I was watching Kendricks, the linebacker at UCLA, number 97 for the UCLA Bruins, was an absolute standout, I mean, really strong football player at the inside. And JP can pull his name up.
Yeah.
But that was fun to watch, because, you know, it's not very often, because your eyes always are gravitated. When you're watching somebody, your eyes are focused in on just watching that one player. And a lot of times you're not watching what else is happening. You're just trying to really focus in and hone in on that one guy.
Kenny Clark.
But Kenny Clark for the UCLA Bruins absolutely grabbed your attention from the screen away from the guy that you were trying to watch, because he was such a good football player. And he was a rotational player that rotated in with a lot of guys. But when he was on the football field, and these aren't plays that are highlights of him. I mean, this is highlights of the linebacker. So when somebody else stands out, I mean, that's pretty doggone good.
That's kind of how it works, right? Defensive lineman holds it up, linebacker cleans it up. Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how you would like it to work. Yeah. But, I mean, Kendricks was making plays, and this guy, what's his name again?
Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark was making plays in his own right.
You know what I like better, JP, than the D-line holding them up and the linebackers cleaning them up?
What's that?
I like when the D-line cleans them up, because that means typically it's less of a gain.
Watching, you know, because I watched.
It's a good point, Tony. Thank you for
that.
Watched.
I'll write that deep
down.
Thinker.
All the defensive linemen that were coming out in this year's draft, you know, Leonard Williams and all of the other guys, that whether they be nose tackles or defensive tackles, a kid at Oklahoma. I think there's
a watched a kid at Washington.
At Washington, big nose tackle, really good football player. But, you know, watching all of the defensive tackles, I don't know if any of them looked as good as this kid
so
at
you're
UCLA.
Saying he looked better than Leonard Williams?
No. With the exception of Leonard Williams.
With the exception of Leonard
Williams.
Don't mess with his boy.
Well, he is my boy. I actually saw him this weekend.
Oh, yeah? How's he doing? Tell him hello for us.
I just passing said hello. I didn't say, hey, you want to be a Jaguar?
Give him an offer sheet.
It's not like a recruiting trip.
It's going to be fun to watch kind of how that plays out with him. And you know, the way the talk is all of a sudden, if you get somebody that just absolutely falls in love with Marcus Mariota, mm-hmm. you know, could the Jaguars trade down and acquire, you know, an extra first round pick? You know, Cleveland. You know,
they're going to go to Tennessee first.
Yeah, but you know what? Tennessee may not want to do that, knowing
they want Leonard Williams.
That's what I'm saying. Tennessee may not want to do that because Leonard Williams, by most people's estimation, he's the best player in the draft. So with them maybe being unwilling to lose that chance to draft Leonard Williams, they may not be willing to part ways with their draft pick. And so the next trading partner up is the Jaguars, which, you know.
But who picks four? Oakland?
Yeah.
But if you're
and they've got a quarterback.
Yes, yeah, so that's my point. So if you're sitting there and Tennessee doesn't pick him, do you have to go up to Jacksonville to get him? Could you maybe trade?
Well, you may.
But then you risk someone else jumping in front of you.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, if you want to be the first up, first at the line, first at the chow line, better serve it up.
Get more in 2015. That's well said, by the way. First in the chow line. Become a Jaguars season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the National Football League. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets. Or call 633-2000. We'll talk Greg Jennings, a little more draft news as well. One of the top quarterbacks facing another lawsuit. All that coming up. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. And the Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. The actual, I guess, offseason program begins Monday. The players will be back in the building officially. Guys are starting to trickle back into town right now. We mentioned the Paul Posluszny numbers. Ian Rappaport reporting earlier, and thanks to @JagsGators on Twitter for the heads up on this. With his extension Paul Posluszny will earn $15 million, up to $18 million over 3 years. And he was set to earn $7.5 million per year the next two. So that's a pay cut, right?
Well, I wouldn't call it a pay cut because, I mean, as a player, a couple things happen. One, they're lowering your paragraph five salary, but they're giving you the guaranteed money up front. So okay. As a player, you're like, okay, I got the security of guaranteed money in my pocket now. And then I also probably have the opportunity to make some of that back with the bonuses or incentives that are in the contract. So, you know, it's $7.5 per year this year and next year. You know, that's 15, and the contract for 3 years is reportedly 15 to 18. So, basically, they tacked another year on, gave him some guaranteed money, lowered his paragraph 5 number this year and next year, and then added a year
on. Explain
what
the paragraph 5 number is.
Paragraph 5 is your salary. That's exactly what you get on a week-to-week basis. So, in other words, if you're making, let's say, $1.6 million, or let's say $1.7 million, you get 17 game checks. That's how players get paid. So you get $100,000 per game and also one for the bye week. So that's the salary, which for a veteran player, it's only guaranteed if you make the team for opening day. And once you make the team for opening day, then you're actually guaranteed that salary with a vested veteran. You're guaranteed to make that money throughout the course of your, even if they release you at some point. So I think it does a couple things. One, it helps the team out because is Paul worth $7.5 million a year? Probably not, but he's worth a good amount of money because he's a really good football player. So it helps the team out and gets what his true value is more in line with what the actual pay is. And then for the player, from the player's standpoint, you now get more guaranteed money, more likely to make the team because they're giving you guaranteed money up front, and then they're adding another year onto it, which, you know, if you make it or not, nobody knows. But the guaranteed money gives you the security that you're going to be where you are for this year at least, and then possibly for next year with a manageable cap number.
It depends how big the guaranteed money is.
Right. But I would assume that, you know, it's a probably, you know, pretty good number. I'm not, you know, a pretty good number for me nowadays is a lot different than what it is for Paul Posluszny.
Right.
You know. But, you know, that's good. It's good
veteran
for the team.
Veteran minimum would be a good number for you and
absolutely.
I right now.
Absolutely. And it's good. It's good for Paul. It's good for the team. They keep a good football player. You know, Paul obviously is happy, or otherwise he wouldn't have signed it, you know, because he could have said, hey, look, I don't want to sign that, you know. And the only option he would really have is to get, you know, I mean, his options are, team says, you know, if you don't like it, then we can cut you.
Right.
You know, and then Paul would be back as a free agent. You know, and I don't think it probably got to that point because Paul is a very respected player on this football team. But, you know, it's good for both. It's got done early. It didn't get in any way bad for – and I'm sure Paul's excited about it as well.
Strengths of Posluszny and weaknesses on the field?
Well, his strength is his leadership, his hard work, the example that he sets, meeting rooms, weight room, locker room – true professional in every way, excellent nose for the football, absolute student of the game, excellent on first and second down. If he's got a weakness, he's not great in coverage. You know, he's not exceptional, but he's not bad either. You know, he's not as good as Telvin Smith, which Telvin seems to have a little bit of a knack and an instinct for the passing game. You know, and having played the position going back to college, it's very difficult to kind of understand the nuances because as a linebacker, a lot of what you're trying to cover is happening behind you. So it's hard to get a feel for where you need to be because you have to have a feel for where you need to be. You don't actually see it. You know, as like a cornerback or safety, you're seeing it. It's happening in front of you. With a linebacker, a lot of it's coming in from the outside and you don't get to understand it. So you have to kind of understand some of the principles of what you can see to help and understand what's happening, what you can't see. So it's not his best part of his game, but it's not like he's a delinquent or a liability in pass coverage. Just not his strength.
What do you think, Tony? What does he rate?
I think he's average in coverage.
Okay.
I think all the thing. I agree with everything else Jeff said. I think he's a very good run defender, good inside, you know, tackle to tackle, linebacker. Actually runs pretty well, really sideline to sideline because he runs well. Great leadership, great instincts. I think probably the biggest negative is his injury prone.
Durability a little. Yeah, but,
mean,
you know.
But that's not something you control sometimes.
Well, and not since he's been here. I mean, since he's been with the Jaguars for the most part. You know,
but it's been little things that just, I mean.
He's been okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know? I mean, if you're asking what the negatives are, it's average in coverage, and he's gotten, missed some games because of injury.
Yeah, one thing
but
I will say.
Overall, he's about where he ranks, I would say he's, he's a top half of the league.
Top half, you know, he's in that, you know. In that
10 to 15.
He's in that 65 to 80%, you know, of, you know, linebackers, you know. You know, that 60, you know, so he's not an elite player, but he's below that, you know, really good football player. But I will say one thing about Paul Posluszny, you know, injuries happen in football.
Oh, you can't control it.
And you know, the players, look, but I give Paul credit because last year when he tore that pectoral, he finished the game.
Stayed in the game.
Yeah. I mean, you kidding me?
He's tough as nails.
You tear a pec and you just grab your pec for a few minutes and then you stay in the game. You kidding me?
It's like a hockey player.
I mean, I tore my bicep. I was crying. Paul tears his pec. Yeah, no big deal. Line up, play another down.
You're not as tough as he is.
I'm obviously not.
Apparently not.
Obviously not.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. My bicep.
Okay? But, he says.
My bicep. And here, and this is a credit to Paul.
I'm trying to
Paul Posluszny has some of the biggest pecs you've ever seen. I mean, this guy looks like he's, you know, carved out of rock. You know, he's got large pec. To tear that big of a muscle and to be able to withstand that. I mean, I tore a bicep. I mean, I look, my biceps are average.
I'm trying to figure out how many times I've heard the bicep story from you, Jeff.
Once.
Come on. Once.
What?
Oh, you tell it every week.
I didn't tell the story. Then I'm just saying that anyway. He's obviously way tougher than I am.
And, you know, and understand when we say negative, because you asked positive, negative.
Right, yeah.
When we bring up a negative as far as injury, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
And some guys have that. Sometimes it's bad luck. You get rolled up on. I mean, you can't control that. It's just bad luck.
We had a guy, and I'll never forget this, a guy I played with in New York, Kyle Clifton. Long time starting linebacker for the Jets. Horned Frog graduate, TCU. And I remember he got hurt and was able to play up until the bye week. And had what was his first surgery and only surgery that he ever had in his distinguished, you know, 10, 11, 12-year career, however long it was. And I'm just sitting there going, I was amazed that a guy could play for that long and stay that healthy and never miss a game in his career. You know, I mean, that's truly an accomplishment because, look, it's a violent game.
And there's so many things violent that happen game. You can't control.
No.
Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, and catch up with our buddy Chris in the United Kingdom. What's up tonight? Or late tonight over there. What's up?
I'm fine. It's not too late over here. I've got a couple of questions to ask, and the first question is a draft question, and then the second question is a rule change question. I want to know Tony's opinion on it, especially because he's an offensive lineman. The first question I've got is, what linebacker would you guys like to see the Jags draft? And then the second question I've got is, at the owners' meeting, they announced that they were making changes to the cutback blocks on running plays. Are these rule changes going to eliminate cutback blocks completely, or is it going to modify it? And I can take the answer off the air.
Well, thanks for the call.
But weren't they just discussing it? I don't think they actually made it. They changed the rule a couple, I think 2 years ago, where you actually had to have your head and kind of shoulders in front, and you could no longer roll. I'm not sure they made any new modifications this year.
He's kind of got two terms Chris. You got two terms working it. When you got cut back blocks, well,
you can't peel back.
There's cutbacks, cut blocks, and then there's peel back blocks.
You
there's two different categories. So the peel back blocks, you know, they said no.
And I think they might have expanded that even to the interior line where you can't, you know, peel back on guys. That's the only thing I assume. But as far as the cut rules, they made. I think it was last year actually they made it where
last
you can't
year.
Roll anymore. You up to the next level, you have to be in front of them when you cut. You can't cut from the side at the linebacker level or the secondary level.
Yeah, when they make rules changes, I always wait until we get to training camp, because you know what is written and what is actually explained sometimes are two different things.
I agree.
And what they do is they bring the officials in and they have a tutorial video, and they go over exactly what the rule change is and give you examples of what is now illegal compared to what it used to be. So I'd like to refrain from commenting until I see that.
And the way I'm reading it now is that there were just some amendments to the rules already to make the block illegal for all players. They were illegal in certain areas of the field, and now it's peel back block is now illegal for all offensive players,
right,
regardless of where they are on the field.
Where the year before, as an offensive lineman, you could do it inside the tackle block.
That's right. Can't do it anywhere anymore. And chop block is additionally illegal now for running backs going after defenders lined up outside of the tight end area, I guess.
But you can still cut block if you're a running back, as long as you're going right at it's, you know, face to face. You just can't do it. You got to have your head, everything in front.
Right. There you go. So there you have the answers.
Now,
linebackers.
He asked a question about linebackers.
Yes.
I mean, is he talking about, you know, the Leo position, the pass rushing position? I mean,
if it's the auto, I'd take Dante Fowler.
Otto? Or Leo?
I mean, but that he's an auto. Leo. He actually played if you look at it on the –
He played everywhere at Florida.
Where they mark him as an auto, but he'd be a Leo here.
Well, no, well
– on the tape. If you go look at the tape.
Yeah.
But he'd be a Leo. That's who I would take at the Leo position. At the auto or the Mike or the Will, middle or weak side linebacker, I haven't watched as much tape as Jeff. I think the TCU guy, I remember watching him. TV copies. I thought the kid from Mississippi State is a freakishly big, rangy, physical player.
Reminds me of the linebacker for the Bengals.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but real, you know, 6'4", 245, 250.
Freaky athlete.
But not really a pass rusher. You know,
he's a Mike linebacker.
Yeah, he's playing inside.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Join us for the 2015 Bud Light Draft Party, presented by PRI Productions. Watch the NFL Draft in the world's largest video boards. Get autographs from current and former Jags players. And enjoy food from more than 20 of Jacksonville's best restaurants. Parking is free, so be here at Everbank Field for the 2015 Bud Light Draft Party, presented by PRI Productions, April 30th, 6 to 10 p.m. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Buscelli. We go to the phone lines, and we say good evening to Troy in St. Johns County. Wants to talk about that draft. What's up, Troy?
Hey, Logs. Hey, Tony.
What's happening, Troy?
Good to see you too.
Doing?
Yeah.
No one cares about you, J.P.
What's up, Troy?
I just wanted to talk about Jadeveon Clowney. So he was hyped up to be the number one pick overall. No questions asked. And now we have Leonard Williams and Dante Fowler. They have, if you look at them on NFL.com, they're very, very similar. I just want to know what separates the three. Why would you take one over the other?
So the three players are Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler, and who?
Jadeveon Clowney, who's already been in the NFL.
Okay, but you can't pick him, so you want to know the difference between...
No, I'm not trying to pick him. I'm saying he's kind of been a disappointment.
Well, I mean, it's been a disappointment. Maybe he got hurt, you know, and I think there's a big question mark about him going forward. But, I mean, as far as comparing them when they were coming out, you know, so trying to compare apples to apples, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney is just a freakish athlete, I think more so than Dante Fowler. Probably similar to Leonard Williams, although the body type and the position was a little bit different. Leonard Williams is still a freakish athlete just because of the sheer size that he has, but at a different position. So I think there's more similarities there. And Dante Fowler is more raw, I think because, you know, his experience at playing where he's at is relatively, you know, short. But Jadeveon Clowney was a pure defensive end, pass rush guy, edge guy. Dante Fowler is kind of more of a hybrid, can do a little bit of everything. Leonard Williams is a straight defensive tackle. You know, if I were watching a film on all three of those guys now and they were all draft available, I would still have Jadeveon Clowney number one. I would have Leonard Williams probably number two and Dante Fowler number three if I had to rank them.
See, I'm not – and I want to be careful because, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Jadeveon Clowney is a freaky athlete. You know, amazing. I did not think he had a great junior year. Did I watch every game? No, but I watched enough. Was there live to watch him play Georgia.
Yeah, production was down. Yeah.
I thought, and I think if you watch with Leonard Williams, if you just watch the film, I thought Leonard Williams was more productive in what he was, the position he plays. Two different positions, so it's sometimes hard to compare. And I would say Dante Fowler played at a much higher level as far as competitiveness than Jadeveon Clowney did when I turned on the film of those two. One of the things, I think Dante Fowler is very raw as far as a pass rusher. I don't think he has a lot of pass rushing skills as far as, you know, hand use and, you know, look, it doesn't look like he's been trained to be a pass rusher.
No, he's not natural at it yet. But not, I mean, yet.
He looks like a guy who just loves football, big, physical. When he meets you at the point of contact, you're going to lose. I just love the way he played the game. I think Leonard's a freaky athlete for his size and hand use and what he can do at the defensive tackle. I'm not taking anything away from Jadeveon Clowney. I'd probably put, you know, Leonard Williams and Jadeveon Clowney 1A, one and 1A. I mean, it'd be a very difficult decision between the two of those guys defensively, and then Dante Fowler a third. I think it's completely unfair to make an assessment of what type of pro Jadeveon Clowney is going to be at this point based on what we saw last year because of injury.
There's a big question about him going forward, too. I mean, when you have a microfracture, you know, microfractures are pretty neat. I had one.
Sometimes they work really well.
The biggest thing is where it's at in the range of motion. You know, in other words, when you lose part of your, you know, area where you get bone on bone, is where that starts to come in contact in your range of motion. You know, Tony Brackens had it. Tony Brackens had it relatively high in his range of motion. So, in other words, once he was straight leg and he started to bend his knees, it happened pretty quick. Mm-hmm. When I had my microfracture, straight knees, it would take me not to get to parallel like a squat position, but closer to that. It was deeper in the range of motion. The question with Jadeveon Clowney going forward, where was that microfracture at in his range of motion to where it impacts, you know, his ability to play with bent knees?
Right.
So that's a major question going forward.
Didn't Tyson Alualu have microfracture?
He did.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously not an ideal situation.
No.
No matter where it is.
So look, I mean,
it never goes away. It's never – once you even have a microfracture procedure, the reality of it is that it's something that will bother you for the rest of your life, and you just have to be able to maintain it and to be able to suck it up.
I mean, Bruce Smith, who had over 200 sacks, had microfracture in the middle of his career and probably had 100 sacks after he did it. So to Jeff's point, everybody's different. Where it happens biomechanically, it's going to affect you differently. And we'll wait and see about Jadeveon Clowney.
Didn't you play a game against Bruce Smith one time, Tony?
I think you did.
Once or twice.
Jerome on the west side wants to talk about the draft. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Okay, what's up?
I just got a question about do y'all see them taking an offensive lineman with the second pick? And if
no,
so,
no, no.
Who would you?
No.
All right. Okay, and the other question is, do you really see Tennessee taking Mariota, or do you see them taking Leonard Williams? Because I really would like to see Leonard Williams here more than anybody. But, I mean, just your opinion, if you think they would take a quarterback knowing that they took Mettenberger last year.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Thanks.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, Tennessee is very, very different. I mean, you have a little instability at the top of the ownership. You have, I don't want to say instability at the general manager position, but was it Rustin
Weber, right?
Huh?
Weber?
No.
Webster?
Webster or Rustin Webb.
Yeah. Keep going with that. You guys are doing great. It's great.
Thanks,
good
thanks,
radio.
Tony. Yeah, you know, he's kind of on the clock, and then you got Ken Wisden on a second-year coach. You know, so who has the power to make that selection? I don't know. You know, and a lot of smoke screen. Yeah.
Rustin Webster.
Yeah.
Not you know, crazy. So
what is it going to be? I don't know. I don't know what Tennessee's going to do. I mean, are they going to stand pat?
I think they're going to trade the pick.
With
like
where they are?
Get it.
I don't know. I mean, Tennessee doesn't have anything right now. I mean, they are void of talent. And if they pass up the opportunity to maybe get the best player in the draft, Leonard Williams, I would be shocked. I think that they take him, and then the Jaguars are in a position to maybe trade back with some team wanting to get Mariota. And I hope that that happens. That's a perfect world because, you know, the draft, and I think I said this last week, but the draft typically has – anywhere from 8 to 10 guys at the top that are just considered upper echelon, can't-miss picks. I think the draft this year, I don't think you have those five coveted guys anymore. I think this year there's a couple, and they're coveted because of the positions, and Leonard Williams is right there at the top. But the difference between Vic Beasley and Dante Fowler, Randy Gregory, it's not that big, you know, so – I think by trading back, I think you're actually going to get a lot more value if you can do that and acquire more picks, you know, whether it be in the first round or in the second round, I think you'd be better served.
I'll say this. I don't think the Jaguars can go wrong. If someone trades up to get Mariota at two, you're going to have Leonard Williams sitting there, and if you think he's the best player, you take him in a heartbeat, and you got a very good player. If Tennessee takes him, Leonard Williams, then you're going to have opportunities to trade down and get two first-round draft picks, and I think that's a great situation as well.
But I would love – I mean, just like our caller, I would love to see Leonard Williams here in a Jaguars uniform. And a lot of people have asked me, well, I mean, they just went out and they got guys in free agency, and, you know, you've got guys that are established here. You know, isn't it getting kind of crowded? I said, you know, any football coach would love to have a problem of trying to figure out ways to play everybody on the defensive line. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
A few years ago, when the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots, they beat them for one reason and one reason only. They could rush the passer. And they had a bunch of guys who could put their hand on the ground and get after the quarterback.
I mean, having Jared Odrick and Roy Miller, Clem – I mean,
Sendarek
Marks, you know, all those guys,
yeah.
You know, Tyson Alualu. I mean, all these guys
it's
to roll.
Problem.
Give me that problem any day of the week.
Last phone call of the night, Terrence in Mandarin. What's up tonight, Terrence?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great. Thank you.
I got two questions for you all, too. All right. First, I want to know if Blake was to come out this year, where would he be drafted with the other two quarterbacks?
Ooh, I think he would.
Third,
let me answer that first. I think that he would be above both Mariota and Jameis Winston. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's great. I think it would either be him or Winston, and then Mariota.
Good question. What's your next question?
Okay. The next question is, what if the draft don't go like everybody's thinking? And Winston is sitting there at three.
Then what do you do?
You
pick someone else.
Or trade
or
back.
Or trade back, right. One of the two.
We don't draft him?
No.
No.
Are you a Seminole fan?
No.
Terrence.
I'm a Jaguar fan.
Think about this. You just drafted Blake Bortles third overall. Now you're telling me you want to draft another quarterback third overall?
Well,
so are you saying you don't think Blake Bortles can do it?
Yeah, I'm thinking I might do that.
You don't think Blake Bortles can play quarterback?
He wants to hold him hostage.
One thing I want to say is that when the personnel guys are evaluating the quarterback position,
Terrence,
they're not just evaluating the current class. I mean, when you're trying to acquire a franchise quarterback, you're not only looking at that year's draft class, but you're looking at the next year's class as well. I guarantee you that the Jaguars did a full evaluation on Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, and Blake Bortles all last year and said, who would give us the best chance at becoming a franchise quarterback? I guarantee you that they looked at that in that perspective and came away with it saying, Blake Bortles is the best of these guys. We need to get him.
Well, and I'll even take a step further to answer, to give a succinct, direct answer to you, Terrence. If all three are available right now, I would pick Blake Bortles. I think him and Winston would be rated very closely together as far as what their grade was, but I would take Bortles before him.
The character
Blake
separates
has
it all day
nothing
long.
Off the field, and Blake is a tough-minded, physical quarterback with no off-the-field issues. So you take Blake, and now you want to pick another one? I'm glad you're not the GM, Terrence.
There you have it. We're back in a moment.
Who picks another quarterback third?
Apparently Terrence does.
After
he's
picked
know.
Him. Something you would do, JP.
What are you looking at me for? We're back in a moment.
Sounds like something dumb you would
we'll
say.
We'll go around the National Football League in just a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. It's time for a 360-degree look around the National Football League, presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. We start with news of Adrian Peterson's return to the National Football League, reinstated tomorrow officially. And the question, guys, is he with the Vikings this coming season or with the field, the rest of the team?
Well, I mean, who are you asking? You know,
I'm asking you.
Well, I mean, as far as it, me, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I just know that Adrian Peterson seems committed to being somewhere else for the season. And the last thing in the world that you want as a franchise that is in rebuilding, because that's where they are in year two with a young quarterback, is a player that's not happy. But at that same token, with a young quarterback, there's nothing better than a great running back to take the pressure off of him. So you're kind of in a little bit of a quandary right there.
What are you going to get for a 29-year-old running back?
But he's, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people say that. They bring up the age when it comes to Adrian Peterson. And I go back to that year that we saw him firsthand, his first game back from an ACL reconstruction. He is not a normal human being. He is a special athlete and a great running back, the best running back in the National Football League. And I'm talking running back, not a receiver out of the backfield. He's the best running back. And if this team had a chance to get him for next to nothing,
would you take him?
I would take him all day long.
The child abuse I guess he was convicted. Was I mean, he pled to it. Some sort of
excessive discipline,
yeah,
child abuse,
whatever
you want to call it.
Would you? It would not. That wouldn't stop you from taking.
No,
him.
It wouldn't.
But you wouldn't take Greg Hardy. So different.
No, it's a different category in my book.
Okay, I am too. I would take him too. I mean, I'm not saying what he did is right.
Yeah.
But I think you have to look at the entire picture of what happened and how it happened and kind of the attitude afterwards and kind of how he's tried to work with it and you go through the process of what he's been doing with his son.
Yeah,
and it's different things.
To try to determine whether he's going to be in Minnesota or not.
But I don't think he is in Minnesota.
I don't know.
I don't think he is. He doesn't want to be there. I think he's going to make life miserable for him, and I think they ultimately try to get, you know, some sort of draft pick for him. I don't know if a team would give a first rounder for him though, maybe a second.
Probably. I mean, because not only are you having to give up a lot, draft pick wise, but then you're absorbing a lot of salary.
That's right.
Would you take? So I'll say this.
Kind of a double negative there.
You're a GM. They call you up. We want your second round pick at the top of the second. We'll give you Adrian Peterson. Would you take him?
For this team?
No, you know, the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, no, yeah, absolutely.
I'm saying you're the
I'd take.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd do it.
I'd do it right now. But I wouldn't ask them to take a pay cut or anything. We can afford it. We got the salary cap. Come play. Let's go.
And then I go to what I brought up about why the Vikings are in a little bit of a quandary. One, he's a great player. He's disgruntled. But, I mean, you're talking about developing a young quarterback and having a great running game to be able to help him along in the process. I mean, that's invaluable.
By the way, that is our look around the National Football League. Tomorrow is somebody's birthday in this room.
getting old.
Mr. Baselli, how old are you tomorrow? If you
don't mind happy asking. Birthday, happy thank birthday, you, dear friend. We sing to you.
I'll be 43,
happy
birthday,
JP. 43.
Happy birthday.
Oh, day
happy
over 40.
Birthday to
you don't look a day under 50.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, that's good. What are you going to do tomorrow?
Nothing much different than I do every day. Birthdays don't quite mean the same.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman for Joe Fortunato and everyone. This is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.